Thank you, Johan. Yeah, so Johan basically did the introduction, so I don't need to do the introduction. I'm joking. I am super excited to share this morning. I was so excited that 2 weeks ago I ran to Kevin and I'm like, Kevin, all the words in prayer meeting is lining up to the message I felt to share next week. And Kevin just looked at me and he's like, yeah, no, it lines up with Russell's message as well. And I'm like, yes, I'm hearing the Lord the right way for what I want to share. And then Kevin looked at me again and he's like, but you're only sharing in 2 weeks though. So, I had this word planned and ready last week already, but I'm so thankful and glad that Uncle Henry shared last week because it just adds so much more to what I felt for us this morning and what I want to share about this morning. But in saying that, like, I am excited. And if I get loud, it's not because I'm angry. It's because I'm passionate about this. I shared about it at the youth as well, about a month ago. This preacher has changed drastically since I shared it at the youth. The only thing that's the same is the story. But that we'll get into later. So my name is Shaul. For those that don't know me, I have the privilege of leading the youth alongside my beautiful and amazing wife, Jessica. I can honestly say that since I got married, like, the Lord has changed me in many, many different ways through her. Her gentleness, her kindness, her love, and her grace that she has for people, which I never seem to have. But now I've got a better side. So that's great. Yeah, and I really want to honor her for that. She's taught me a lot of the Lord. But this morning, I want to ask anybody here, who wants to win something? Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'll do one better. I'm going to go up there. And then I think... Okay, no feedback. Great. Peter was worried there. He was like, ooh. So the first one to me would win something. So the first person to get you would win. That doesn't matter. Okay, great. Come, keep following. Great. Thank you very much, Matthew. Here you go. He won a box of chocolates. Well done, Matthew. That's lekker. Celebrate that box of chocolates. And that is exactly what I wanted to do. If John can get my PowerPoint up there, that would be great. I actually, this morning, wanted to preach without a PowerPoint, but then I realized I'm a visual person, so I like seeing stuff. And the topic for this morning is front-footed. I want to speak about us being front-footed in the Lord and what does it mean being front-footed. At least one person in the congregation really wants a prize and really wants to win something. So I'm glad to see that we've got one person that's front-footed. That's beautiful. And so this morning I'm going to share a couple of tips or things that I see of how we can be front-footed. But before we start with that, I love history. It's a fun fact that not a lot of people know about me, but I do love history. And studying for this preach and doing a lot of things and research, I love the facts of how the Roman army used to work. I know Rome conquered Israel, wasn't a good people, like, they were terrible, but they had some good qualities. And one of the good qualities was the way their army worked. The army was very dedicated. The army followed orders to a T. The army moved as one unit. It wasn't like Pete decided he wants to go that way and James decided he wanted to go. No. Pete and James moved as one. They worked together. And as you can see there was that's a legionnaire. And what happened with the legionnaire is that when the commanding officer says go forward, they would take a step forward and they would stand. And then the legionnaire officer would say go forward and they would take a step forward and they would go forward. And the whole preach started with their shoes. Now, if you don't know what their boots looked like, underneath they had little spikes, little things that helped them to, the moment they take a step, they plant themselves in the ground. So for me, the image is rugby boots. If you ever seen Tux, it's the same image that I have for their boots. The moment you step into the ground, it's very difficult to move. And I really love that picture of every time they took a step forward, they took ground, and then take a step forward and they take ground, and they take a step forward and they take ground. And they weren't the fastest infantry units out there, but they were some of the most successful infantry units out there. Now this morning, as I shared, I'm going to speak about front-footed. Now, something that I used to love was playing rugby. I was a very, very, very avid rugby player. I loved it. I played for 2 years after school for a club down the road. And I played for the A team for 2 years. It was amazing. It was really fun. And then I went into coaching because they say they that can't do must teach. So I went into coaching and, I really enjoyed coaching as well. And then I started playing, a non-contact form, but I really, really, really loved the contact form. And I'll never forget this one game. I've never been the biggest player in the team, as you can see, like, yeah. It's only lately that the stomach has grown, but, I've always been the smallest player in the team. Like it's been the theme of my life. I get into a team, I see clanky, like, great. Get into the team, I see clanky, great. So I had to grow up with that thing of the label of being the smallest player in the team, which was okay. I didn't mind it. I loved tackling the big guys. And in my first year, I made a friend with a guy that was in my rival school, believe it or not. And we kind of said this thing. I will tackle the big guys and he will steal the ball. He was the number six flank. His name was Peter. And I'm like, Peter, today, I don't just want to tackle the big guys. I want to run over one. And he's like, sure, doen wat jy moet doen en tackle him on. And I, English translation, do what you have to do, just tackle the guy. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I want to run over this guy. Like, I want to run over somebody. And I'm not just anybody. I don't want to run over somebody my size. I want to run over a big guy. And he's like, okay, whatever. Pipe down in the cheap seats. Don't worry. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I've got this feeling in my heart. Today is the day I'm going to bounce somebody. And you know that feeling when you run over, all the rugby players bounce somebody. It's an amazing feeling. Your ego gets boosted. You feel so great. But in the game, close to halftime, their fly off decides to kick to my side. And I'm like, yeah, come on. I'm getting the ball. It's going to happen. And I see this big dude in front of me. Like, he was a solid man, like a big duck. And I'm like, okay. So I would like to think that I was a very smart player. And the problem that this guy made is he saw me and he saw that I was very little and he went and stood and waited for me. But the problem was the moment you stand and you stand on your heels, you're off balance. And I knew this because smart player, not a big player. So I looked at him and I'm like, I pointed towards him as I'm running to him. And I'm like, I come for you, young man. And I'm running with the ball and I see him and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this guy now. And I run and I bump and it was like, in my head, it's like a atom bomb exploding. Like, in his mind, it was probably bigger. And in my friend's mind, it was even huge. But actually, it was just a small guy running over a big guy. And what happened was, a couple of meters later, somebody else tackled me. And as I fell to the ground, I just hear Peter laughing all the way from the halfway line. And I'm like, I started laughing in the ruck. And the big thing was that I was able to run over this big guy because his position was wrong. The way he stood was wrong. And because we were wise, and I was wise in the way I played, I knew that I can take him out. I was determined, and I knew that I can take him out. See, the Bible says that we have to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And the reason we have to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves is because we have an enemy. Henry shared about it last week. If you weren't here, go download the preach. It was amazing. Forged in fire. How we have to stand strong even when we've been forged in fire. But what does that have to do with being front-footed? Well, a lot, actually. The first thing that a lot of people speak about this time of the year is rest. You know, I have to rest. December is a time for rest. It's a time for resting. I am tired, so I have to rest. And I agree. You can ask Jessica, that is my face in the mornings because I am physically tired. It's been a long year. I did a lot of things. I had to lose some weight. So I had to practice extra hard. It was just physically, I look like that. But the problem is we shouldn't look like that spiritually. And I'm speaking of a spiritual rest that we need. And I love this verse. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I really love the fact that God says here that his yoke is easy. What is a yoke used for? Who can tell me? Okay. The old school yoke. It was used for the oxen. It was used for work. It was used for work. It wasn't used to go sleep. It was used for work. And here's the point I want to make in rest. Rest in the walking, not rest from the walking. So as we walk in the Spirit, as we follow God's word, as we seek God's presence, as we do what God wants us to do, we will find rest for our souls. And this is not a good idea. This is not what I think. This is what the Bible teaches us. See, a lot of us get to this time of the year and we're like, you know, 2019 was long. So now I'm going to rest. And then hashtag take a break. Take a break from what? We can't take a break from the kingdom. We can't take a break from advancing the kingdom. We can't take a break from serving Jesus. We can't take a break from loving him. Because then we're not finding rest. Then we're not doing the thing that he's called us to do. And that's finding rest in him. As we walk, we find rest. Not rest from the walk. Russell shared this and I loved this. He shared this. Rest for 2020, not from 2019. Jeremiah 6 verse 16 actually speaks about rest in the walking. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. I'm not going to give everything on the board, but it says here, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. So the moment you actually end up feeling tired and drained, you're not being front-footed. The moment you feel in the spiritual, I can't pray for somebody. I can't spend time with God. You know, your fellowship is just so tiring. I just can't do it anymore. We're not being front-footed. And God is calling us to be a front-footed people for 2020. Not a people standing like that big dude on his heels. See, the problem is, if he was on his toes, he could have tackled me back 20 meters. Because he was on his heels, his back feet, I could have smashed him back. And I had a good 10, 15 kilograms lighter than him. The second point I want to make is a vision. I really, really want to echo this. A vision. One of the best things we have as a congregation is this thing. I love the fact that we have this thing. Yeah. This is a kariki. I miss playing cars. Jessica, took a kariki. There we go. Great. Souls we trust for, answered souls. My question to us is, what is our vision for 2020? Have we prayed about it? Have we asked God for a vision for 2020? My goal is to see all those balls over on that side. Why? Because it's so many more people coming to the kingdom. But what is your vision? It's a time of year where the world writes out New Year's resolutions. Like, so it's amazing. And we write them all out and we're like, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I need to do this. But Proverbs tells us this, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And I chose specifically that one because I love the fact that it speaks of a prophetic vision. As I was doing research for the preach, I started listening to one guy and he shared this. As a church, they do this. The first 3 weeks of their congregation's life, they fast. Because getting a vision from God is much more important than just going on with the routine. And I was like, yo, I don't do that for the youth. Maybe I should. I don't do that for my wife. Maybe I should. I don't do that for myself. Maybe I should. And it's so important that we find vision in the Lord. It's so important that we know what God is calling us, because if we don't have a vision, if we don't know what God is calling us to, it's easy just to go back to the default and stand on your heels. But if we know what God is calling us to, we have a target. We have a destination. My target I pointed to because I was arrogant and stupid, but I pointed towards him and I'm like, I'm going to run towards you. I knew where I was going because I had a vision and it was clear. I wanted to get there. I love this quote. A plan outside of God's presence is a problem. How many times can we keep a New Year's resolution if it's not something that we've heard from God? A vision comes from in the presence of the Lord, speaking to him, wrestling with him, asking him, just being fully devoted to him. And that goes into the next one of why we need to be front-footed and how. And it's obedience. I love this verse because this verse tells me that we have a Father that's speaking. We have a God that's continuously calling. We have a God that wants to speak to us. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And again, I went onto YouTube because it's cool that we read it in the Bible, but I want to see a physical picture of this. And I wanted to play it here, but because of copyright rules, I decided not to. So if you want to go YouTube, Shepherd Calling His Sheep. And it's a true story. There's a guy going out. He takes five people with him. And all five people are like, yeah, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. And they call the sheep and they're like, shh, and they whistle and they do all those things. And the sheep just continue eating. And they're like, okay, yes, that's cool, bro. And they eat the grass. And then the shepherd comes and he whistles and he calls twice. And you see the sheep's head go up and they're like, bah, and they run. And they all just go. And I'm like, what? It actually happens in real life. And then there was another guy who did it for a live stream for his church, where he went and he was like, I'm a shepherd in the house of God, so I'm going to call the sheep. And he called the sheep and they were just eating. And then this little boy, 14, 15, I guess, comes and he was the shepherd of the sheep and he called them. Next moment they heads up, ran towards the boy. And it's so, so important that we know that we have a shepherd calling us. We have a Father saying to us, go do this, see that, follow there, speak to that person, pray for that person. But my question is, are we listening? See, so many times, being obedient takes a step out of our comfort zone. But you see, our comfort zone is our heels. Following God's voice is being front-footed. It's saying, I'm going to take a step of boldness, a step of faith, a step of love, because ultimately obedience is love towards God. And he loves it when his children listen to him. And this one, celebrate Thanksgiving. We're going to read the verse now. It's so important for us to have a heart of thanksgiving. I love that Johan shared all the trials and yeah, just the challenges they went through from getting married to even going on honeymoon. I have to say that Johan was the most admin organized person I've known. And then he got married and I don't know what happened with that gift. And it's so funny that, yeah, it's okay. I know Johan, like 6 a.m, he's up. 7, his porridge is done. Yeah, he went to gym, like I know him. And, do we celebrate God in the difficult times? I've had probably some of the lowest of lows that I can imagine. I'll never forget as a grade 4 learner sleeping in a car with my brother, my mother, and my father. Like just the 4 of us sleeping in a car for about 2 weeks. Then my aunt and uncle heard about it and they took us in. And now, the year before, I was taken away from my aunt and uncle. The year later, I've been taken away from by my aunt and uncle from my parents. And in that moment, you don't think of like, what am I thankful for? You think of like, how bad is my life? How shocking is my circumstance? And I believe that this year, there was a lot of us that went through difficulties and still going through difficulties. And we're constantly getting faced with challenges because the enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants to kill us. He wants to take us out. Because if he doesn't, we're advancing the kingdom. And one of the things he takes away is our thanksgiving to God. It's one of the things he challenges and takes away the quickest, because it's easy to grumble. It's easy to complain, and it's easy to get stuck in a situation. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, gives thanks to him and praise his name. Adoration to God. You see, being front-footed in thanksgiving means that whenever a challenge comes, you find that reason to be thankful to God. Whenever a challenge comes, you find the reason to say, God, you are good. God, you are glorious. God, I thank you for every breath I take. God, I thank you that you are my life. I thank you that you give life and life in abundance. I know challenges are not great. Like, I know. I've been through them. And I still go through them. And I believe each and every one of us goes through them. But we serve a great, great God that deserves celebration, that deserves our thanksgiving, that deserves our adoration. And in the times of difficulty, the thing that kept me going, the thing that kept me front-footed, was being thankful to God. For every testimony, every salvation, every healing I've seen, every person I've seen being set free, every time God has set me free from something, and every time I get to wake up, I get to be thankful because I've got life, another opportunity to glorify God. And probably my favorite one in this list, stand. The Roman soldiers had this amazing, amazing dedication to their goal that they want to achieve. And they had to change their army style 3 times in the history. They had to go to Italy. They saw that this line walking in one line, everyone walking together, didn't work. So they had to change it. And then later on they saw, okay, that plan didn't work. So they had to change it again. But I love that image of us as a church, us as a congregation, walking and running together for God, taking in one stride, one unity, one love for Jesus, going forward, taking ground. And I love this image that God has planted in my head. It's like, we take a step and then we're like, God, that's your ground. Take a step and like, God, that's your ground. Take a step and God, that's your ground. When we get victory over our sins that we face, we're like, God, you are the King of Kings. This is yours. Thank you. Thank you that we can get victory over this. And we take a step and we stand there and the enemy's going to come and he's going to try and steal it back, and we can stand strong because we know who we serve. And I know, being front-footed and standing, how does that work in line? Well, the point is, the Romans did this. They took a step and then they stood for a bit, faced the enemy, take another step, pushed the enemy back. And they were front-footed, constantly planting their front feet into the ground, saying that I will not move backwards. For me, there's only 2 ways we can go, forward or backwards. There's no in-between. Yes, some scientists would tell me you can go up and down and left and right and all those. It's either forward or backwards. God's kingdom, we go forward, we go backwards. Because if we're stagnant, we fall behind. Because this army of God must move forward. This army of God must take ground. This army of God must stand for the King and his kingdom and his glory. And the verse that I got was Ephesians 6. It's so powerful. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against cosmic powers. Over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand Therefore, we have everything we need to be front-footed. We have everything we need to move forward. There's situations that might keep us back. There's things that we can think of now, excuses that we can think of now, saying that God doesn't want to use me. We disqualify ourselves. There's things that we say, things that we think that disqualifies us. But I want to remind us of the five ways to be front-footed. Rest in the walking, not from the walking. Rest as we go with God. Rest as you preach the gospel. Rest as you pray for somebody. Rest as you spend time with God, because in His presence is where we're going to get refilled. In His presence is where our souls are going to get nourishment. They're going to get life. Praying, fasting, reading the word, worshiping. Something that Jessica's taught me so much about was worship. Just the area of worship. Like the way she would just randomly lie next to me in bed, put on her earphones and start singing. And I'm like, okay. And then she'd sing and I'm like, yeah, that glads my heart to know that my wife worships the Lord. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling knowing that you're sitting next to somebody that's entering into God's presence. Rest in the walking, not from the walking. Vision. Know where you're going. Without a vision, there's no purpose. Without a purpose, there's no goal. If no goal, why are we doing this? Get a vision. Get a goal. Get a purpose. Ask God for it. If you do not know what a good place to start is, Matthew 28. Go out into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a good vision to have. When we leave these doors, are we looking at ourselves or are we looking at God's vision, God's goal, and what God wants for us? As a church, we have this. Souls trusted for. Answered souls. And I loved that this year, in the youth, we have seen so many souls come to Christ. Because the one thing that we've been hammering on is that this life is not for you. This life is for God. And He has a vision for you, a purpose for your life. Go out. Go achieve it. Obedience. God is speaking. Are we listening? I'm so reminded of, even before I got before I got to know the Lord, I had a very good friend, very close friend. His name's Yannick. And he's like my family. Last night I was at his house and it was a family meeting and we got together and his cousin sitting here, hello, is he? I say. And she's also like family now. And I kind of grew up in that house. But we went to the mall, Canal Walk, out of all places. So busy. During December holidays. It was so busy. I think it was my second year. I still didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. And he told me, and I didn't get to see him very often. Like this was maybe the fourth time I see him in the year. And he's like, okay, since we walk in this door until we walk out, we're not allowed to speak. We have to ask God to show us somebody that we have to pray for. I was miffed with him. Like I wanted to speak to him and like catch up. And he's like my brother. And I want to get to know what's going on in his life and share everything that's going on in my life. And he's like, no, whoa. No speaking. We're going to walk, ask God, and then we're going to do. And I'm like, okay, I don't really believe in that. But yeah, let's do that. And we walked through the mall, dead silence. It was awkward. And they didn't say a word to one another. And I could see him starting to pray in tongues. And I'm like, okay, no praat en nog 'n ander taal ook. And I was still like, what's okay, cool. And I still, y'all God, if there's somebody, show me. And the next moment somebody fainted. And I'm like, okay, that's clearly not for me. And Yannick goes to him and he starts praying for the guy and he's like, you're healing. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And I walked off. And what that story taught me was that God speaks to us even when we go do our Christmas shopping. Do we give God the opportunity that He deserves? Now, I'm not saying go to the mall, be silent, and walk through the mall and ask God to speak to you. That's not what I'm saying. As I'm saying, throughout the day, When you hear God's voice, are you listening? Are you being front-footed? Fourth, celebrate. I love this song. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Yo, we do it at the youth. Mornay does it a lot better than me because I can't sing. I've got a 10 voice. You can go 10 kilometers away and then you can hear my voice. We sing this song. It's about 10 years old. It's next level old. But it's so beautiful because we need to celebrate Jesus, the King who has been born, a King who took our place on the cross for our sins, didn't deserve it, and he got risen 3 days later. We need to celebrate the King of Kings through thanksgiving. Stand. When you take ground, stand in that ground. When you take ground, stand in that ground. Do not fall on the hills, because that's when the enemy sees there's weakness. I'm going to expose it. And in that previous story of me playing rugby, I was the enemy. I saw that there was weakness and I exposed it. And through that story, I hope that you hear that the enemy is like a lion, roaring, seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. But just a couple of verses on, it says that he is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Our hope is found in nothing less but Jesus Christ. So take a stand for Jesus. 2020, let it be a year of going forward, being front-footed, not allowing the enemy to knock us back or knock us down. Yes, when we make a mistake, we've got leaders around us that can help us. I make mistakes daily. You can ask Brent. He comes to my house and I tell him all the time. Sometimes I lead my wife wrong, and then she tells me, and then I get a cappuccino from Kevin, which works. But be front-footed, even in the times that you realize I've made a mistake. And do not allow the enemy to steal that ground. So I'm going to end off with a prayer for us. And I really hope that this morning, it was something of encouragement rather than a heavy. When I started writing this preach, I realized that I fall short of most of those points, if not all of them. I realized that God has to do so much work in my heart. And I'm so thankful that I got to be the messenger. Because when I read the Bible, I see that God used the burning bush. He used the donkey. And this morning, I'm humbled to say that God just used me. But he's also convicted me of some of those points. He's also told me that, sure, you need to step up. You need to be front-footed. And I want to encourage us all that this is something that I see. Russell spoke about 2 weeks ago. Henry spoke about last week. And I'm pretty sure that Kevin's going to mention something of being front-footed on Wednesday as well. But I trust that as a congregation, we would live a lifestyle of going forward and being on our front foot, taking ground for God. And every time we take ground, we celebrate him.